Let me talk with you just a few minutes about something that the Lord kind of laid on my heart this week. You know, I don't know why, but it seems quite often me and the Lord get into a conversation about why things don't, that happen don't always feel good. You know, why is it not always that feel-good thing that's going on? But he always settles me down and brings me back to his word and reminds me of who I am and the fact that there's no other journey that I'd want to be on. I look around and see people, and I guess especially maybe married couples that are trying to live life together without the Lord being in the middle of it. And I don't know how they make it. I don't know how they make it. But there's no other place that I'd want to be than on this journey that the Lord has me on. And even though, yes, there's ups and downs, the Bible's clear. It tells you, hey, they're coming. Just know that they're coming. But he's always there with us. And again, I want to just put a plug in for Uta, because I'm just finishing up her book, The Dream Chaser. And she just does a phenomenal job of interviewing some pretty prominent Christian leaders across the country. And it's then able to me, it was so encouraging because even the down times and the troubles and the things that they went through, you know, the Lord just showed himself through that and brought them back to that original calling that he has on their life. She's coming when? Yeah, she'll be back and maybe we can even have her speak, because she was supposed to speak last time, but the plane didn't work, and well, it worked. She just didn't get on it. But anyway, you know, we all have plans and dreams, don't we? Desires and thoughts of what life might look like in the future, or have you ever driven down the road and looked at how much money is on the lottery sign and thought, boy, if I won that, man, what would I do with that? Boy, I'd give a little bit here, a little bit there, and buy me a new car and pay everything off. You know, I know none of y'all have probably been there before. That's just probably me and my immaturity. But, you know, those thoughts kind of cross my mind. But it would be a miracle, because if you don't buy a ticket, you don't stand a chance of winning, right? So it would be a major miracle. Anyway, as I was thinking about this, the Lord reminded me of some of my younger days, I guess probably my teens, whenever we were living in Renz, and my grandparents were out about 5 miles outside of the big metropolitan city of Renz in the country, and we had a farm out there. We'd go out and work every afternoon as soon as Dad got off. But I can remember when we were cutting hay and he'd be on the tractor going round and round and around the fields, and I'd just kind of lay down in the grass and be looking up at the clouds, and you know, you begin to see pictures in the clouds and you begin to dreams of, you know, man, one day I'm going to be a pro athlete, or I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that, you know. And just those dreams, just at that point in life, just were, it's like you could dream anything. And anything was possible out there. Do you ever have those days? Have you ever laid down in the grass and looked at the clouds and just seen, oh, that looks like a dog. Oh, that looks like a... Anyway, I guess as you grow older, those dreams kind of change and maybe become a little more realistic, or at least you kind of have other things to put around it to bring you to that place. But they're still there. See, God gave us the ability to dream, to have thoughts of the future and what that might look like. But what happens to us when the reality of life doesn't look like what we've dreamed or imagined? You may look at where you are right now in life and say, this is not where I pictured me to be years ago. And maybe we get a little discouraged. But when things come along, contradictions and disappointments and those kind of things, what do you begin to think? What do you feel? Do you begin to feel like, oh, shoot, I miss God? Or does it mean that I've made a mistake? Or does it mean that you've done something wrong? I don't think so. I don't think that. I feel like God says, no, that's not it. There's a process that we go through in living life and growing every day and walking with Him, that things are going to happen. Things are going to come against you. Things are going to try to sidetrack you. Things are going to try to get you to think that you're a failure, that you just can't measure up, that you're not going to do what you feel like you have dreams for, God-given dreams. Una, in her book, talks about what she calls the process of preparation. And she talks about how as we go through life and as things happen, God uses those to prepare us for the dreams and visions and plans that He has for us. See, lots of times when God gives us a dream or reveals some plans to us, we may not be fully ready to step into that. We may need a little tweaking, okay? But God still lays that out in front of you and says, this is where I want you to go, or this is what I want you to be, or this is what I have for you. And as you go through life and things come along, because a lot of times when that happens, I've seen this before, is when somebody kind of gets radically saved, you know what the next thought is? I'm going to be a preacher. Let me talk to you. No. But we all of a sudden hear that calling. We feel that tug on our life to head in a direction, and all of a sudden we want to take off running in that direction. And when we do that, sometimes it turns out to be a disaster because we get ahead of God. Not that He dangles that thing out in front of you, but He won't say, hey, Donnie, this is where I'm taking you. This is where we're going. But let me take you. Let me walk you through. Let me help you get there. And not in my strength, but in His strength. It's just like an athlete. They don't just go out on the big stage and perform. They go through training, exercise and planning and all that kind of stuff. That's all part of them getting to that big day, them getting to that big moment in their life. See, God's calling or God's dream for you may look like the goal, but there's a process that He will carry you through that will help you sustain the dream in the long run. Because if you jump ahead of Him, you may find it, but then you haven't been equipped to sustain it. And the process that He wants to take us through is teaching us, developing our character to stand and sustain what He has for us. I want us to look at the process of a few people in the Bible real quick. Joseph, for one, had a dream that he'd be a ruler over his brothers. And the first mistake is older brothers, and little brother don't tell older brothers what's going to happen, okay? But he did. The dream was from God. The calling was from God. The promise was from God. But he didn't jump right into it, did he? I mean, think about Joseph's life. He had a heck of a life. Brothers threw him in the cage, into well, sold him into slavery, went off, had to be a servant, got accused, got thrown in prison. You know, all of this, things happened to him. And yet, if you go back and just hang on to that original dream, that he would, his brothers, I think it was that his brothers would bow down to him, is kind of the way that it said. Years passed before he fully realized that dream. Jacob is another one. Jacob had a dream of having Rachel for his wife, his bride. It was love at first sight. When he laid eyes on her, he knew she was the one. So, worked out with her daddy. He would work for 7 years. She could become his wife. Only to wake up. This one I can't quite explain, but only to wake up the next morning. It must have been really dark. The moon was not out. But he woke up the next morning and it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. Okay. However that happened, his dream wasn't fulfilled. He had to work another 7 years before that took place. And look at David. Shoot, I just forgot. Who came and anointed David? Samuel, thank you. Samuel came to anoint who would going to be the king, and it was David. Now, I don't know that David's dream was to be king. I don't know that, but it was God's calling that he become king. But look at what he had to do. He had to run and hide from Saul for years before realizing the calling and the dream that was there. See, God had a plan or a calling for their lives, but he also knew their hearts and used situations to help mold their character so that they would be able to fulfill the purpose he had planned for them. Had Joseph's heart not been changed over those years, whenever he finally saw his brothers and was in the position, he probably would have thrown them in jail. Okay. But he had all that time, prison time, to sit and think and for God to speak to him and God to train him and God to mold his character so that when he got in that place that God gave him a dream about years ago, he could respond appropriately. Jacob could have rejected Leah. But you know who Leah gave birth to? Judah, who is the lineage that Jesus came from. Jeremiah 29 says that God has a plan for each of us. Sometimes, most of the times, we need a little tweaking before we're ready to fully complete that plan. Some of us need more tweaking than others. But when you let God develop that plan and develop you for that plan, it's the ultimate. It will turn out the way that it should be. You know, oftentimes, as I mentioned earlier, we get that, we have that feeling or that calling or we have that plan or we have the desire and we want to make it happen ourselves. We want to take the ball. Okay, God, thank you. I got it. I got the ball. I'm going to run with it. And when we do that, we mess it up. Floyd McClung, he's a senior pastor of a large growing church in Kansas City, Missouri, and the international director of All Nations Family. Didn't mean anything to me, may not mean anything to you, may. But he said this: between the mountain of promise, our dream, and the mountain of fulfillment is the valley of testing. From the mountain of promise, okay, here's a dream I've got that God's given me. Over here is the mountain of fulfillment of that dream. But there's a valley in between there. Now, we want to jump from mountaintop to mountaintop, don't we? Okay. But we have to go through that. And he says there's some things that take place in that valley. It's a time of developing strength of character. And it's also the valley of the shadow of death. In other words, there are things inside of you that will hinder you becoming everything that God wants you to become that needs to die. We don't like to hear that. But see, as we sang, he's a good, good father. And he knows that if we don't go through certain things, if we don't allow him to develop certain character in us, if we don't allow him to show us certain things that need to die for us to fulfill what he has for us, then we're going to make a mess of it. And we're not going to receive the full benefit of what he has for us. See, the process of preparation is used by God to shape us into a fulfiller of our dreams. That process that he takes us through is to equip us, to train us, to make us, to mold us so that we are everything that we need to fulfill the dreams that he's placed in us and given us. Lots of times when we're pursuing our dreams, we run into obstacles, roadblocks, and failures, and disappointments. That doesn't mean that the dream is not alive. That doesn't mean that the calling has been canceled. Okay? It's still there. But he wants to help us navigate through those things so that we come out on the other side more capable of fulfilling that dream than we ever thought we could. That's relying on him. That's not Donnie trying to pursue my dreams. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this: but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. We know that one. We claim that one all the time whenever we feel like I just can't go on. But God, I know what the scripture says. I got to thinking, I'm not so sure Paul meant when he wrote this that his strength will show up when we have exhausted our efforts. Now, it will, but I feel like what it says to me is that if I realize to start off with that I'm not capable and that he is, I probably save myself a whole lot of heartache, okay? Because he will show himself strong when I realize knowing my place, you know? When I realize that he is it, he is the one that is strong. He is the one that will carry me through and not my own abilities. But we got to trust and believe him to do that. He can do what he says he can do. Okay? And there are anointings that come, that help us walk through these things. But the word says it's Christ living in us. It's not the person that's anointed. It's the Christ living in you that's anointed. That's the anointing
that gives you what you need to move through it. Again, John 3:30 says it. He must become greater and I must become less. See, because my anointing is nowhere close to what his anointing is. And if I become less and his become greater, all of a sudden the anointing that I operate in is greater. Another rain shower. See, as we get a grasp on this and begin to understand and see that it's not us, but it's Christ in us that will help us fulfill the dreams and the plans and the destiny that he has for us. Then we'll change our focus from chasing our dreams to chasing the dream giver. When knowing him becomes our priority, chasing the dream giver, because he's the one that gives those dreams, that's when we begin to be shaped and molded into the one that can fulfill those. That's when our dreams will become realized. That's when they'll be manifested. Isn't it amazing how God works? He gives us a dream and a plan. Then he tells us to chase after him and not the plan. Then he shapes us and develops us so that we're ready and capable to live out those plans. He's such a good father. He's such a good father. He shows you what you can have, what you can be, what you can do. And then he basically says, now keep your hand off of it and let me do it. But see, again, if we tried to do it, we'd mess it up. We'd mess it up. We would never have the... I don't even remember the name, but I remember video games that whenever your energy level got low, you know, all of a sudden you found a power pill or something like that, and then it kind of builds itself back up. Well, if you're doing it on your own, you'll never get to the top, you know. You'll never get built back up completely. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said it this, it's chapter 3, verse 5, yet we don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. For our true competence flows from God's empowering presence. We don't see ourselves as capable enough to do anything in our own strength. But it's God's strength, God's empowering presence that gets us there. See, we each must engage in the journey God has called us to. And within that journey, allow him to shape us and tweak us so that we'll be able to stand firm in the calling. And along the way, you get to know him more and more. Isn't that awesome? Getting to your goal, the pathway is getting to know him. And as you get to know... Is that me? That was loud. As you get to know him, the goals begin to just be there in front of you. That's just so awesome to me. I read this. I wasn't sure if I was going to say this, but I want to say this because I think it's a little bit pertinent. I read this thing that said, suffering doesn't do anything except make us suffer. But when we allow God to work through the suffering to draw us closer to him, we find treasures in the darkness. We're all going to go through something. Okay? The Bible says that.
try to handle it on your own, it'll be nothing but pain and misery. Let him carry you through it, and he'll show you the treasures in the middle of it. Isaiah 45:3, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord. He's a good daddy. He's a good daddy. And he has plans. He gives us dreams. And he wants to take you there. This morning I want to challenge you not to chase your dreams, but to chase the dream giver. Can I pray for you this morning? Father, we thank you that you are the dream giver. You give us those dreams, but you also then prepare us to be the fulfillment of it. And so, Lord, I pray that today, as we continue on this journey with you, Lord, that we take our hands off things that we're trying to make happen, things that we're trying to manipulate, things that we feel like, oh, I can do that, and let you show us how, that we give it to you today. Lord, I thank you for dreams. I thank you for the plans that you have for us. But I'm also so thankful that you're the one that's going to help me get there. That I don't have to earn it. I don't have to do it. I don't have to strive for it. So, Lord, I just bless you today and thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And I thank you for helping us walk through those difficult times and to find those treasures on the other side of it. We love you today. Lord, I just bless everyone here today, Lord God, and just ask that you would just show yourself to them in new ways, in ways that they hadn't thought about, in ways that they've just not experienced, because that's who you are, a good, good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.